You're listening to the Whole Vineyard Podcast. To find out more about the Whole Vineyard Church, go to wholevineyard.co.uk.
Well, good morning, everybody. My name is Anthony, and it's always, always an honor and a pleasure to stand before God's people and bring forth his word. I want to thank everyone for pressing in and coming to attend today. I'm part of the team here, and guess who else is here? My mama, Mrs. Mekako, is there. Stand up, mommy, say hello. Came all the way from Long Island, New York to watch me preach. That's not true. She's on holiday. Praise God. Praise God. So we are continuing our sermon series today, continuing on with Paul's letter to the Colossians, and there have been so many amazing talks, which are available on our website and on YouTube. So this is where I ask you to tune in and you catch up on some of the other talks. And in those passages and in those talks, Paul has been emphasizing the truth that Christ plus nothing equals everything. In other words, we don't need to supplement Christ with anything else. Christ is enough for us and he's in us. Last week, Rachel did an amazing job and she set us off on the practical application of all this truth that Paul had already taught in chapters 1 and 2 and what living the new life in Christ is like. Today we're going to continue along the same theme and we're going to read some more verses from chapter 3. And if you want a title for this talk, it's Clothed in Christ. And we'll be reading from Colossians chapter 3 from verse 9 to verse 17. I'll be reading out of the New International Version. If you have a Bible, you can turn there. Otherwise, it's there already. Thank you. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self and its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator. Here, there is no Gentile or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and in all. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another if any of you has a grievance against someone. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body, you were called to peace, and be thankful. Let the message or the word of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. And whatever you do, whether in word or in deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Amen. The Lord bless the reading of his word. Thank you, Father, for your word. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that you are already here. You are moving in the midst of us. You are changing us. You are doing your good work in us. We pray today that, Lord, your presence will be manifest here and that I will speak the word that you have asked me to speak and that I will speak only the words you have asked me to speak and I'll speak all the words you have asked me to speak and your people will receive your word and be empowered in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Praise God. Praise God. Welcome, everybody. So, like I said, we are continuing on our study in Colossians, and today's title is Clothed in Christ. Now, this passage of Scripture is loaded with a lot of truths about life in Christ. And although there is a lot of injunction about don't do this and do this, it's really important that we realize that this is not just a matter of do's and don'ts. God is not bringing us into legalism and bondage to do's and don'ts. The whole passage is rooted on the understanding that we are in Christ. and that we can only live this life in our position as believers in Christ. We cannot have victory over sin or the flesh in our own power. Human or natural man-made religion has no power over the human nature to change human nature. Cannot. It can give you laws. And it is impossible, in case you haven't known already, that it is impossible for us to live the Christian life without Christ. And this is all Paul has been trying to say to us all this while. We do not need Christ plus something else to make us complete. Christ plus nothing equals everything. Amen. But I think it's really important for us to emphasize what Rachel so beautifully brought out and captured last week, that we died with Christ. That's really important. We died with Christ, we are risen with Christ, and we have a new position. We are raised with Christ. We are seated with him in heavenly places. This new position gives us a new perspective so we can see things differently and see things from where Christ is sitting and see the way God sees it. And then that will help us practice our journey in discipleship. So Rachel did these 3 years last week and did 3 P's. So continuing in this same theme, I'm going to go along with 3 P's as well. So here are some thoughts. The first one is put off the old nature. Put off the old nature. You know, when we were born as human beings, you might have been born beautiful and nice and your mother thought you were the best thing on the earth, but you were born in sin. We were all born in sin, and that sin controls us and dictates what we want to do. In truth, that sin nature is that nature that is controlled by the devil, which came on man during the fall or after the fall in the Garden of Eden. But in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, we are told that if anyone is in Christ, that person is a new creation. All things have gone, new things have come. This speaks of our spirit being. You know, our old nature dies in Christ. A new man is born in Christ. We are no longer under the domination of sin. And that's really important for you to recognize that you are no longer under the domination of sin. But you may ask me, though, why do we, that as a born-again child of God, I still go back and I still start thinking about the old impure thoughts. I still speak some of those things that I shouldn't be doing. And still the same old all the time. The truth is that although the old man has died, its practices, its habits hang around until we put them off. And that's what God is asking us to do. Like a man of God put it, he said, our old man is dead and gone through the work of salvation. However, the vestments of this old man, its attitudes and its actions, they hang around until we put them off. To put off is like taking off your clothes today. You know, we are all dressed today. I'm sure we didn't sleep in this. How many of you slept in what you're wearing today? No, you didn't, you know, I suppose. You had your nightgown, you know, your sleeping garment, and you got up this morning, you put that off. You hopefully had a shower, and then you put on some new things, and then you came here. To put off is like taking off those things. It is something that we have to do. Amen? We rely on God's ability, but it is our own responsibility to put off that old man with all its practices. Practices like sexual immorality, lust, anger, those kind of things that we did when without remorse when we were still under the law. But unfortunately, you know, like an old horse that keeps going back to the same barn, that sometimes we still find ourselves going back into those practices. And you may be here thinking, oh, Anthony, brother, if you only knew how much I don't want to do those things. Anybody there? It's true. And if you said that, if that's you, I'm saying excellent. Excellent because, not because you are doing those things, excellent because it tells me that you care. The fact that you don't like it that you are still doing those things shows that you care. And even Paul, who wrote this book, Paul the apostle, he struggled with these things. He records this in Romans chapter 7. Verse 15 says, I do not understand what I do. For what I want to do, I do not do. But what I hate, I do. For I have the desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out. Anybody there? For I do not do the good that I want to do, but the evil that I do not want to do, this is what I keep on doing. Then he said, oh, wretched man that I am, who will rescue me from this body that is subject to death? The King James Version says, who will rescue me from this body of death? And I'll just tell you what he was referring to. Don't vomit, okay? In the olden days, in old Roman Empire, if the tyrants or the rulers wanted to punish somebody, especially if the person was a murderer, you know what they did? The person that, if he killed somebody, they would take that corpse and tie that corpse to the body of that person who they wanted to punish. And that was called the body of death. Hand to hand, leg to leg, sometimes face to face. And that person will drag that corpse all around. And that was a slow, painful death because that corpse was rotting away on that person until that person got contagion and died. That's what Paul was referring to. Yeah. But he now said in verse 25, thanks be to God who delivers me through Jesus Christ our Lord. Paul struggled and he found that in all his struggles, he could not come out from that struggle that we all are struggling today until he came to Christ. Sin can only be conquered as a result of our union with Christ, not by struggling to avoid it. So practically, what may it look like for me to put off the old? Last week, Rachel quoted something from Matthew chapter 8, verse 18. It's recorded in another place. He said, if your hand or your foot causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. Now, Jesus is not advocating Sharia law, okay? In some parts of the northern part of Nigeria where I come, they do Sharia law. They practice Sharia law. And if you steal, they'll cut off your hand. If you go back to steal, they cut off the other hand. I remember that before I came, they were beginning to introduce it in some parts of the country and they were telling us doctors, oh, you have to learn how to, you know, amputate hands and limbs because you will be, you may be required to amputate people's hands for stealing. I said, no, go away. You are who is talking. You are a thief yourself. You know, don't tell me to amputate people. Amputate yourself first, you know. But that's not what Jesus Christ is saying here. No. What he's saying is that rather than offending and going against God's law and ending up in hell, we must be prepared to read or get rid of anything that causes us to offend. If I find that when I hang around with Frankie, any Frankie here? Okay, no. If I find that when I hang around with Frankie, I tell lies, I slander people, I gossip, and I do some of all those things that I don't want to do, then for me, putting off may involve me cutting away that friendship with Frankie. No matter how tightly close I am to, oh, Frankie is so nice, Frankie is my friend, and he gets me, he understands me, he buys me Costa coffee every morning, he's just my soulmate. He's buying you Costa coffee, being your soulmate, and taking you to hell. Jesus is saying, cut him off. Cut Frankie off. That's what it means to put off, guys. That's what it means to put off. So no matter how hard it is, it may also mean me cutting off social media or late night television, because I can't control the narrative and remain pure when I'm there. Even if I miss out and I don't have anything to contribute to the gossip in the office in the morning because I haven't been on social media last night, it doesn't matter. That's what God is saying. It is God that gives you and me the grace and the strength, but we are the ones who make the decision to put off and to take a step in faith. The second point is that it says, put on the new nature. So we are not only to put off, we are to put on. Thankfully, you put off your night clothes and you put on something. Otherwise, we would have thought we were in the Garden of Eden today, okay? So, good. So we are to put on something after we have put off something. Amen? Ephesians chapter 2 verse 5 tells us that God raised us up together with Christ and seated us with him in heavenly places. So in God's eyes, and the devil knows it as well, we are seated high up. And from our vantage position, we can look. That gives us a new identity. A new identity. And that new identity should give us a new mentality, a new way of thinking. For example, for the married people here today, you know, when you were single, you thought about yourself, you lived for yourself, and you did things for yourself. And then you got married, you got a family, and suddenly your mentality has changed. I hope it has changed. So at the end, when payday comes, you don't immediately think about, oh, I'm going to the pub. I'm going to crawl around with friends. What do you think about? Ooh, I've got to be careful here because for the sake of my family, I don't want there to be too much month left at the end of the money. You know what that means? No. You know, so I had a friend that a fellow colleague when I was working in York, and we went for a teaching conference or something, and when we finished, when we're going away, we're going to the car park, and he kept just following me. I said, come on, go in your car. He said, he kept following me. Then he followed me to where my car was. So I opened my car. Do you know what he said, cheeky bugger? He said, you're driving a daddy car. Of course I'm a daddy. What do you expect me to drive? He was driving one of those small BMWs that you have to do like this to get in, those sleek cars, because he thought about it as a child. And I said, I mean, daddy, if I have money to buy a car, I will buy a daddy car, because my mentality, how can I buy that small car? Where will I put Tejiri? If I buy that small car, where will I put my wife, on top of the car or in the boot? So my that change of mentality changed my behavior. Mentality changes, behavior changes. In the same way, our new identity in Christ means we think differently. And this should translate into behavioral change. Remember that this is not about, you know, behavior modification through sheer grit. I won't sin today. You know, come on, guys, chill down. You know, go take some Pepto-Bismol or some laxative and go and poo. When you finish, you come back and listen. It's not about that. It's a... Focus. It's about living in Christ. Last week, Rachel said, if we try to live the Christian life in our own strength, we will either become frustrated because of our constant failure, or we'll become conceited and proud because we think we are too much. She did a better job, so this is where I remind you to go look at the podcast, okay? But having said that, we need to realize that true Christianity, guys, is not just about us living for Christ. It is more of Christ living through us. Galatians 2:20 says, I am crucified with Christ, but I live. That life I now live through the faith of the Son of God who loved me. In 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 and 5, you see something here. And this is where we live, guys. It's a balance, that constant tension between God's divine power that gives us all things pertaining to life and godliness. And then in verse 3, it says, because of all these things, make all diligence or all effort to add to your faith. So we are using God's divine power, but we are adding to our faith through diligence. That's the tension that God wants us to live. Amen? Praise God. Gary Thomas, he's a best-selling author and speaker. He said, you may have been lied to, and you may have believed the lie. You have been told that God loves you just as you are, which is absolutely true. God loves you and me the way we are. He said, and therefore, it is okay to stay just the way you are, which is absolutely not true. Every parent here, I'm sure you love your baby. Your baby is the cutest baby in all the world, so beautiful. But how many of you parents will believe that it is okay for your baby to keep on sucking milk, playing with the pacifier, queuing up to go to our toddler's class, wearing baby nappies and going, ba-ba, ma-ma, da-da, when they are 40 years old? That's if it's not, if you don't want that, that's not what God wants of you. A 40-year-old child of God in the faith, still sucking milk and doing baba, dada. That's not what God wants, amen? So what does this new nature look like? How does it behave? Firstly, he said in this scripture that this new man in Christ is being renewed continually in God's image. Our discipleship journey is not a one-off event. It is something we do continually. Amen? Paul Hewson, the Irish singer and activist, is better known as Bono, the lead vocalist in the rock band U2. Yeah, I almost said YouTube. I said it last time, YouTube. U2. This is what he said. He said, your nature is a hard thing to change, and it takes time. I have heard of people having life-changing, miraculous turnaround, people set free from addiction after a single prayer, relationships saved where both parties just let go and let God. He said, but it wasn't like that for him. He said, for me, all that, I was lost and now I'm found. It is probably more accurate for him to say, I was really lost. But now I am a little bit less lost. And then a little bit less lost. And then a little bit less. That to me is the spiritual life. It's like the slow reworking and rebooting of a computer at regular intervals. Reading the small prints of the service manual has slowly rebuilt me into a better person. It has taken years, and it's not over yet. I think Bono was quite right. That discipleship is a daily outworking of what God has already done in us, and we just work it out. You know, it's something that changes slowly, slowly in our outward life as we daily practice discipline and exercise our new faith. We grow. Amen? Secondly, this new nature is not controlled by our worldly attributes, such as our race, our gender, our financial or societal status. So, in this new life, a homeless person can sit right next to someone who lives in Millionaire's Row in Swanland. If you live in Swanland, don't be shy. Don't be shy. We love you. But it is no difference. In this new life, so two people from completely different opposing political parties can sit together and share a hug because of Christ. I can sit down with Pete there, poor Pete. I'm an Arsenal supporter. He's a Tottenham supporter. Poor you, sorry. But I can sit close to him and share fellowship in this new life in Christ. It's not about where we stand in our societal status. Praise the Lord. It is something that God has done. Thirdly, this new nature must reflect Christ and his character of patience, forgiveness, love, etc. You know, we are building the Hope Center there as a manifestation of our heart of compassion and hope for our city. What if this compassion does not only live in that building? What if that compassion lives right here amongst us? What if we all are able to bear with each other, forgive each other, understand each other's weaknesses? What if I don't take offense when I'm offered correction in love? What if I don't get mad and walk away from the church because pastor did not take my suggestion or he did not acknowledge me openly that Anthony is a great man after sliced bread? What if I don't get offended and walk out because of that? What if I walk in love? That is what Christ is calling us onto. Praise the Lord. The third thing Paul says, the third P is pursue his presence. When we put on this new nature of Christ, there should be an outward flow that draws us closer, closer, and manifests the presence of God in us. Paul said in this last part of our passage, he said many things. He said things for us to let or permit. That means it's within your power to either let it or not let it. And he said, let the peace of Christ rule. He admonishes us to let God's peace rule or govern our hearts. Can you imagine if the different parts of the body begin to fight against each other? I can tell you that. How many of you have heard of rheumatoid arthritis? Okay, maybe somebody here is suffering from rheumatoid arthritis. Type 1 diabetes, lupus. These things are called autoimmune disorders. The simple way of defining what autoimmune disorders are is that your defense mechanism, your body, is mistaking part of your body as the enemy and is fighting that part of your body. Does it produce good? No. It damages the body and diseases manifest. That's what happens when the body fights against each other. What do you think will happen if the eye and the hand are quarreling and having a quarrel? If a little grain of sand enters into the eye, who will remove it? You know, that's what God is saying we should not do. We shouldn't fight. Not much time, but there was a fight among the parts of the body. They were arguing who is most important. And some part of the body that is down under there said it was the most important. And the mouth and the eyes and everybody said, shut up, who are you? So it went on strike. 6 days later, as the tummy was swelling, as the mouth was vomiting, as the eyes were tearing and weeping, as the hands were shaking, and the leg was trying to find a way to A&E, they bowed down to the rectum, a.k.a. posterior back passage, to say, you are the most important. Okay, back. Come out from the toilet, back. Okay, let's come back here. So, God says, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God or children of God. It means that children of God should be peacemakers. That's what God is calling us to be. And peace is not only manifested in times of quietness and no crisis. In fact, peace is more evident when there is a crisis. Do you remember when Jesus Christ and his disciples were going on a boat crossing the sea? What happened? And there was a great storm and there was water coming and the boat was about to sink and the disciples were panicking. What was Jesus doing? He was sleeping. He was at peace. That's true manifestation. Sometimes when our inner peace is disturbed, it might be that we just don't trust God. But that's not the only truth. Sometimes our peace is disturbed because God is trying to direct us. The voice of God speaks to us in peace, and we should be peaceful people. Paul said, let the peace of God be the umpire, the referee in your heart. So if I'm having peace towards something, it may be that God is telling me that's what you should do. And if I'm not having peace towards something, I'm thinking of doing this and I'm not having peace towards it, maybe that's God's voice telling me that's not the way to go. We as believers must never override that peace, okay? And sometimes if God is trying to step us up, bring us out of our comfort zone, to put us somewhere, it can look like our peace is being disturbed. But I have learned that if I trust God for his commission he gives to me, he will give us the provision. So if you are here as an emerging leader and God is speaking to your heart to step up and do something for him, don't be afraid. If you're not sure, speak with a mature believer and let God lead you. Amen. His grace will always be there. And then he said, be thankful. Thankfulness or gratitude is an important expression of the life of Christ. It's mentioned multiple times in those last two verses. You know, and you know that being unthankful is one of the things that was mentioned a lot that will happen in the end times, along with things like unholy, unforgiving, and such badness that God has delivered us from. Sometimes if people are people who have this entitlement mentality, they cannot be thankful. And unthankful people are usually unloving people. You might know some of them who think that the whole world owes them. But that's not what God asks us to be. He wants us to be thankful people. Paul then said, we'll soon be finishing, said, let the word or the message of Christ dwell in you. God's word must be supreme. God's word must be the final authority in our lives as believers. See, nobody here gets born again starts the Christian life as a spiritual adult. We all start the Christian life as spiritual babies. 1 Peter 2:2 says, as newborn babies, we should desire the sincere milk of God's word so that we can grow. Without the word of God, we are malnourished, we are weak. And if the devil just goes, achoo, we'll fall. Because we have no strength to resist the devil. And that's not what God wants us to do. He wants us to allow the word of God to dwell in our hearts so that as we meditate on it, as we think about God's word, we can grow and our faith will rise. Amen. In Psalm 119, verse 9, there's a question asked, how can a young man cleanse his ways? The answer, by taking heed to according to your word. Verse 11 says, your word I have hidden in my heart so that I do not sin against you. Have you wanted to do something sometimes and suddenly you hear the voice of your mother or your primary school teacher saying, Johnny, and you change, you stop what you're going to do? About a week or so ago, Robin, who is part of our media team, was saying to me, he said, Anthony, anytime I go to the supermarket and I have that trolley, I keep hearing your voice in my head telling me, return the trolley to its normal place. That's because he allowed the word I said here some time ago to be in his head, return the trolley. So he doesn't just leave the trolley there and walk away. Because he allowed that word to dwell there. God's word is the same with God's word, but God's word is more meaningful than ordinary returning trolley. And God backs his word with the power to enable you to do it. Amen. praise God. And the final thing Paul said was, do all things in the name of Christ. He admonishes us that whatever we do, whether in word or in our deeds, we should do it in the name of Christ. J. John, Canon J. John, often says there are only two reasons why people are not yet Christians. One, they never met a Christian. Two, they have met a Christian. It means that it's a profound thing. It means that we can either hinder or help somebody in this journey of faith. Which one are you in? It's such a profound thing. When we are conscious of our position and identity in Christ, and we allow His word to dwell in us, we speak and act according to what God says, and we think about it, does this bring glory to God? I'll just end with this story. When there's Keith Moore, he's a minister of the gospel in America. And he said one time, his church member met him and said to him, he said, Pastor, I'm struggling with an addiction to nicotine, to tobacco, and to smoking. You know, there are many other addictions or whatever that may be holding you back. And he said, I'm struggling with that. But instead of Keith castigating him, Keith shared this scripture with him and said, what you should do is each time you light that cigarette, say, I am smoking this cigarette in the name of the Lord and giving glory to God. Each time you light it, just say, I am smoking this cigarette to the glory of God, in the name of Jesus, and I'm giving glory to God. And after a few lights, the guy said, no, wait a minute. I am not smoking this thing in the name of God. I am not giving glory to God. And frankly, it is harming me. How can this little thing put me in bondage? He threw it away. And that's how God delivered him from that addiction. We can use it anywhere. So this week, as we go around, put in your heart, I am doing all things, I'm thinking all things, and I'm doing all things in the name of Jesus and for the glory of God. That has a way of focusing your behavior and your thought, because the Spirit of God in you will arise and say, does this give glory to me? And you say, no, it doesn't, and you'll put it away. Amen. So to summarize, God has redeemed us from our old nature of sin and death, and He has given us a new identity in Him. Your new identity gives you access to this new life in Christ. This new life in Christ is superior, is better than the old life that we have been living. And that new life means that God has given us the power to say no to the old and to put on the new man and be clothed in Christ. My response of faith, your response of faith, is to receive that and make that first step. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the Hall Vineyard podcast. We would love to connect with you and welcome you home to church. To find out more, go to hallvineyard.co.uk/connect. And to stay up to date with all that is going on in the life of our church, go to hallvineyard.co.uk/church news and sign up for our weekly mailing. Thanks for listening. We hope to see you soon.